So the Supreme Court upheld birthright citizenship, and it was certainly a groundbreaking decision. You remember the president was at that hearing when they heard those oral arguments initially, and now birthright citizenship stays as is at the moment. So let's talk about it. Reggie Passas is an attorney focusing exclusively on immigration law and joins us from Butzel. Reggie, good morning. It's good to have you back.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
So the Supreme Court focused on the nationwide injunctions, not the merits of birthright citizenship itself, right? So what impact does this actually have on these families now today?
Right. Well, so not bad for a nice slow day, right?
That's it. That's exactly right.
So, yeah, what impact right now? Well, basically, life goes on. The children that are born from here on out are still considered United States citizens by birth. So in terms of the practical effect of everyday life in American society, and for the 250th anniversary of the founding of our country, we just go on. But I know the vote was 6-3. However, the vote was really closer in a decision like this than most people think. The reason why I say that, I know you made some comments earlier about the case, but from what I could see, is that the vote in terms of the ultimate result was 6-3, but in rationale on how the court got there was really 5-4. Mm. And it was Justice Kavanaugh's concurrence that actually pointed out that he felt that the majority of the Supreme Court did not have to go through the constitutional analysis, just really relied on federal statutes. So, you know, change a Supreme Court justice opinion here or there, make a, you know, change the legislation on birthright citizenship. And, you know, this could go the other, this could either go farther into further protection for birthright citizenship, or it could go the other way in terms of birthright citizenship. So this is a lot closer decision than most people are willing to give credit to.
Well, so, and one of Clarence Thomas's remarks in the dissent was basically, that's not what the 14th Amendment was framed for. The 14th Amendment was designed for freed slaves to become citizens of the United States of America. And now using it in a completely different way for people that don't have, you know, a strong moral fabric woven into the United States, that there's some, it's not quite as, there's not as much quite as continuity there as maybe some would say there is.
Right, right. And that is what Justice Thomas wrote about. But what Justice Roberts and the majority wrote about was the historical underpinnings of the 14th Amendment. And the majority took the view of, look, where's the word domicile in the 14th mm-hmm. Amendment? Where's the word allegiance in the 14th Amendment? It's not there. The court was trying to construct it based upon the second part of the 14th Amendment, where it says, subject to the jurisdiction thereof.
Right.
Language. Now, the way the majority read that, based upon the history of the debate of the 14th Amendment, formation of it, was yes, the ultimate goal at the time was to grant citizenship to the post-Civil War environment with the freeing of slaves and things, but the issue there is they were also concerned about children of diplomats, right? Mm-hmm. Children of diplomats can exercise diplomatic immunity and are not therefore subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. So the 14th Amendment was designed to exclude children who were born to diplomats, but not anybody else. I mean, if they wanted to put an allegiance test or put in a domicile test, those words would have been in there.
I want to play a little bit of audio. This is from Vice President J.D. Vance on what's next for birthright citizenship.
Fundamentally, what we're talking about is fixing a problem the Supreme Court created. We also want to look over the long term at undoing that problem to begin with, because, again, this was only a 5-4 decision.
So where do we go from here?
Well, so the Supreme Court was designed to interpret the Constitution of the United States. It's the third branch of government. All right. And that's what they did here. The executive, or the president, and everybody else under it, which includes the vice president, is charged with enforcing the rules. All right. There are still a number of tools that the government has in terms of enforcement of law. I mean, you know, every day when people come in, I mean, the whole concern that they're having is about this birther tourism issue. Every day when people come to the United States, what do you do when you get off the plane? The first person you meet that's outside the people you're traveling with and any passenger is a U.S. Customs and Border Protection officer. Mm-hmm. All right. So there are tools there that they can use to try and where they interview people and try and determine a person's intent to come in the United States. All right. People can examine why you're coming in. If a person's got a health issue in terms of, you know, being 8 or 9 months pregnant, you know, that can be questioned, that can be interviewed. There are a number of tools that can go out that way as well. All right. And then there, you know, the as we read in the news also, they're in charge with enforcing the immigration laws in the United States. All right. They can also pass legislation that can regulate, childbirth in terms of whether they want to include insurance for that or not, in that, all that stuff. So there are still a number of tools that the executive branch can employ. And those are just the ones that I'm thinking of off the top of my head. I'm sure there are other ones. But, you know, I think we talked about this when the order was first put out there back in January 2025. And I said, you don't take away, just because you have a few speeders, you don't take away everyone's cars.
Sure.
Well, it's the same thing here. Just because we have a few outliers that, and it is a minority of people who are abusing our rule in terms of birthright citizenship, you don't take away everybody's ability to become a citizen just because they are born here. So that would be my response to the vice president.
Yeah, it's fascinating and certainly a hot button issue, and the Supreme Court made their decision. You're right, seemed to be a lot closer than what that vote actually was. Reggie Passas, thanks so much. Always good to catch up with you. Thank you for your time, and we'll talk again very soon.
No problem. Thank you, Chris. In regards to Jamie and her family, and hope she's doing well.
Thank you. Yes, we appreciate that. She is doing well, and hopefully she hops on with us tomorrow, I think is the plan, as long as she's feeling well enough. So hopefully we'll talk to her tomorrow. Thank you. We appreciate that. Meanwhile, coming up on the other side, we're going to talk, as we get ready for the 250, you know, everybody's got a story, and there's so many wonderful connections here in the state of Michigan to what we have contributed. And the folks that have rich family histories, families that either moved west as expansion was exploding, and we're going to hear from somebody who had relatives who fought in the American Revolution, and we're going to hear from her next here on JR Morning. You're not going to want to miss it.